Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. For folks who have been listening to the show for a while, you know that we have had a little bit of a setback. I have been in the situation of needing to get a new computer. Ours broke and crashed, and then we only had one that had it wouldn't charge. So I've been trying to get on air to do this show for a couple weeks on animal totems. I'm really excited to share this material with you, but the universe had other ideas in mind. So if you were lucky enough to catch the wonderful show with Nancy Siegel 2 weeks ago, where she talked all about phoetics and the process of connecting with the divine goddess in each woman, you were really lucky to get in on that show. Inner Voice Intuitive Hour has changed from Tuesday night to Wednesday night. I listened to a call from Spirit to start going to a yoga class on Tuesday nights. So this will be my new time on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. For those who are not familiar with the show, this is a forum for people who are interested in the intersection between their intuition, their imagination, their intention setting, and their manifestation. So if those topics are of interest to you, you're in the right place. Periodically we have guests about all sorts of metaphysical topics going on in the CBUS area where I'm from, and then even as far as having guests who are from abroad. So we really do cover the gamut from chakras to animal totems to tarot cards to tarot counseling to depth psychology topics. So it really is a broad-based show, but it's for folks who are interested in figuring out what their soul self looks like and figuring out how to separate that from the ego self. We know that the ego is a necessary and useful thing. It promotes our ideas. It gets us out there. It gets us to follow through with our ambitions and desires, but it can also impede our ability to connect with our bodies and with our the energies of love in our world. And so it's great to know where the ego is and to kind of keep an awareness of how to use it and how to grow that soul self so that we can connect with each other and so we can fulfill our divine purpose. So if those topics are of interest to you, you're definitely in the right place. I encourage you to share your pretty shiny picture with Inner Voice so we know that you're following the show and can send you updates on future shows. And tonight I'm really excited. Well, let me do say that on the 16th of October, I will have Mark Matheny on the show. He is a wonderful astrologer from the CBUS area who does evolutionary astrology. So he focuses on the aspects of your chart throughout time, not just in this lifetime, but in your past reincarnation. So he is just a great, great guest. I'm really looking forward to getting him on here and sharing everything he has to share with you. I was lucky enough, and I almost feel like the reason that I wasn't able to do the animal totem show, and I almost started to feel like this was why, as I was being impeded from my ego goals of showing, of getting the show on the air a couple of weeks ago, I felt like it was kind of divine timing, an issue of divine timing or opening up to a larger opportunity. This last weekend, I was so lucky to get to go to a 3-day weekend workshop in Dowagiac, Michigan with C. Michael Smith, who has a wonderful facility there called the Crow's Nest, where he helps people become shamanic counselors. And I was lucky to go and do a workshop on working with the Dreamtime with him. And it was a powerful, powerful weekend. I would say life-changing probably. We did an activity called Sacred Breathwork, which is just a very, very powerful, powerful form of therapy. What we did was we laid down on mat and we did circular breathing, which is a deep kind of breathing that opens up the unconscious, opens up the imagination, opens up what Eugene Genlin calls the felt sense. So what's below our head, not our thinking capacity, but our feeling and our intuition and our deep feeling. And it helps us move through things. And we listen to amazing music. He put together a series of musical pieces that all had sounds from different countries. And so they were very tribal, very primal, very archetypal kinds of music. And what actually ends up happening is something that's very similar to if you were to use drugs, really honestly, but without any drugs, you're able to connect with this deepening intuitive process, deepening deep level awareness, imagery that comes very, very quickly and is very, very evocative. And it's just a very, very powerful process. It was amazing to me that this was something that anybody can do. I mean, now I encourage you to have a guide. I encourage you to be with someone who knows what they're doing, like a holotropic sacred breath worker, someone who knows how to facilitate this work, or sacred breath work. But it is an amazing thing to realize that our body and our heart and our soul is capable of this deep, deep work with just our bodies. So I was really lucky to get to go to that, and I got a lot of divine guidance about my animal totems there. So as I had thought, that had a lot to do with why I wasn't able to prepare the show for you earlier. So I'm just going to launch right into the show this evening, and I'm going to talk about a system of working with animal totems that's very unique. For those of you who are not familiar with Ted Andrews and his wonderful work, he is posthumous now. He died several years ago. But he has wonderful books, Animal Speak, The Spiritual and Magical Powers of Creatures Great and Small. And he encourages people to find their animal totems based on their chakras. So if you're not familiar with this work, your chakras are wheels of energy that move up and down, that run up and down your spinal column, and that represent different colors and different tones and different emotional charges and work with different body parts. And these chakras are powerful. They can help us know how to use our energy differently. They can help us know where our energy is centered, and they can help us know where our energy is shy. Or not comfortable showing up. So if you'd like more information on this, I have a chakra ebook called Chakra Balancing for Every Body and Soul. All you have to do is go to my website, Inner Voice Intuitive, that's oneword.com, and you can sign up and get that ebook sent out to you. And it works really well as a workbook, so you can print it up and work with it. And I have many clients who have done that. But if the chakra system is not something that you are very familiar with or know how to work with, I encourage you to do that or to get Anna Diajuda's amazing book, Eastern Body, Western Mind, which is also a wonderful discussion of the chakras. It's a little bit more academic, so it's a little bit more based on a model that has to do with health and wellness and disease and things like that. But it's also a wonderful discussion. What I'm going to do, I think, is go through these chakras and talk about the different chakras and just very briefly talk about them, and then talk about the animal totem that showed up in the corresponding story. And I'm also going to share a little bit with you about how to find your own animal totem. Sometimes I actually have a dear friend who went on this trip with me who kind of looked over at me very sheepishly and said, I don't do this. I don't have animal totems. And this person is very, very intuitive and very awake inside and very aware. And she just looked so kind of crestfallen. And I said, well, you know, you have to invite them in. It isn't something cognitive. It is something where you go up in your head and say, oh, well, I should have this animal totem. or and it's about inviting the space, opening up the space, and having a dialogue with the universe about what animals, what guides can help you on your journey, and then noticing which animals are around, which animals draw you in, which animals you may dream about. Many times these animals have certain lessons to teach us, patterns in their behavior, ways that they behave that help us to understand and guide us to tell stories about our deep inner self, our deep inner soul self. And so I encourage you on your own journey to just kind of step into that space of inviting the energy in and being open and receptive to those guides, which can be angelic guides, they can be elemental guides working with earth, air, fire, water, or they can be animal totems. My friend who I was referring to, we were on our way home and she was all sad about not having any animal totems. And she said, look, look, we were driving through an area with high, tall corn. I looked out over there and there was a whooping crane out there. And out there in the middle of these cornfields, and then right next to it were three other ones. And sure enough, I opened up Ted Andrews' book and read to her all about it, and it totally paralleled the journey that she was on in terms of motherhood and in terms of her relationship with her children and her relationship with her time. So I do encourage you to get this book of Ted Andrews because it's wonderful. And he really shows you how to work with animal totems. It's less of like a dictionary kind of way, less of like if you have this animal totem, then it means this. He shares stories about how these animals show up for him so that you can start to understand how they might show up for you as well. So I encourage you to check out that wonderful book, and I'm going to share with you the animal totems that came to me. I'm going to go up from the first through the seventh, and some of them I'm still a little unsure about because I really wait to know that they're the right one. I try to stay out of my ego and out of needing to fit one into a space. So I don't have one for my fourth chakra yet. I'm still just kind of, I have some ideas about what one might be and what animals have showed up, but I don't get the sense yet that it's right, just kind of that intuitive knowing of, yes, that feels right. So I was really, really lucky to receive that as my first animal totem for my first chakra. And our first chakra has to do with survival. It has to do with where our tribe is. It has to do with a sense of what makes us come alive and feel alive in our life. And so the bat totem is very much about rebirth and death. And it's kind of funny, I was looking over Ted Andrews' book, Animal Speak, before I started to do the show, and I've always thought that that was a lot like the Hanged Man in the Tarot. And he, sure enough, Ted Andrews refers to it as being the Hanged Man in the Tarot. And the Hanged Man in the Tarot is all about being in a place of suspension and not really understanding how to contribute to the greater culture until we value our suspension and the fact that we're in a place where we can't really turn around and right ourselves. So we look different to the culture, and we're kind of in this place in ourselves where we're asking questions about why we're showing up the way we're showing up, and we have to accept the fact that we have to slow down and be in that space of being upside down. And then once we do that, we're able to share our gifts and turn ourselves around and work and be seen in the culture as something, as someone who's powerful and someone who has gifts to share. And so that came to me in the middle of this sacred breath work. And bat and owl were both everywhere, all over. And when I say this, as you're breathing these breaths, you're getting very strong images and feelings. And I was getting a lot of morphing bats and morphing faces that looked like bats, and then they looked like owls, and accompanying my other visions that I was having. But bat, for me, is all about this idea of moving from death to rebirth in a cycle. And I am the kind of person who, when I connect too much to my cultural story, my story of who I am in this three-dimensional world, I lose a lot of energy and I start to connect with the larger cultural story, and I start to tell myself stories that are too black and white about my health, my longevity, my ability to heal, and I start to get into a fear-based place. But I've also always been the kind of person who, through whether it's dream work, whether it's imaginative work, is able to really heal myself very, very quickly. And I've had several experiences of spontaneous healing. And when I don't connect to my cultural story so much, or my three-dimensional body story so much, I'm able to heal myself very, very quickly. So that really, really makes sense in terms of my first totem. The second totem, this is your sacral chakra. It's right below your belly button, and it has to do with sensory experiences, sensuality, feeling all of the five senses, feeling a sense of play and joy and peace and serenity, feeling connected to the people around you and feeling tolerant of different kinds of people, so that your emotional self is open and present and available. And I'm not entirely sure yet if this is right, but I feel connected to the energy of the peacock. And I'm just kind of, I'm not sure this is also a animal totem that I relate to my business. And it had showed up in many ways when I was building my business, Inner Voice Intuitive. And so I'm not sure yet. I haven't gotten the absolutely right on kind of aho sense about this peacock, but I have this feeling that the peacock is connected with my second chakra, because the peacock is all about beauty. The peacock is all about all the beautiful colors and all of the eyes of the peacock, which see in different ways. And when I think about my own definition of sensuality, I definitely think about beauty. So I'm not positive yet if that is my second chakra, but I'm kind of putting it out there. I had a very powerful story happen with this totem, whether it's one of my chakra totems or it's just a totem that accompanies my life. You can also look on the web, and there's wonderful information about different kinds of totems that show up. There are shadow totems that move you to a place of greater authenticity with connecting with the shadow or the darker energies or potentialities in yourself, that when we are able to connect with them and able to take ownership of those potentials that we may have that are more dark or aren't as nice, then we don't have to act them out. So there are shadow totems. There are totems that accompany you on a particular journey for a short amount of time. There are totems that are with you for a lifetime and that you come in with. So there are many different kinds of totems that show up. But my peacock showed up when I was moving into my second house. I was done with my master's in counseling that I was working on. And because of the school that I went to, because it's full of a bunch of wonderful, intuitive, heart-centered people, some of the faculty had made a mistake, and they hadn't credited us with enough credits to sit for the board. And at that point, I was considering going and practicing in California. But I ended up staying in Ohio, but at this point I had to take the test in case I was going to move to California. So I was moving into this house, and my partner had this beautiful picture of a peacock that she had taken, and it was sitting in our living room. And since everything was still packed up in bags and stuff like that, there really wasn't a lot to do. I had gotten my beads out. My second hat in my life is as a jeweler, and I had gotten my beads out so that I had a project to do, but we didn't have the TV set up yet. The cable hadn't come. So there wasn't a lot to do, but this picture was sitting up right at the base of this dresser right by the TV. And I would look at it every day because the sofa was directly across from it. And I would look at it every single day, and I would just marvel at the beauty of that picture. Well, then it turned out that because of this whole situation with not having enough credits to actually sit for the test for the board to become a MFT, I didn't have. We got a letter in the mail, and we said that we had to take. It said we had to take another class, pass fail, and so we had to read several books for that. And when, of course, because of the school that I went to is Pacifica, and they're so focused on depth work and soul work and this wonderful, wonderful work about what our lives are really like and what they're supposed to be about, instead of doing extra, just silly kind of, you know, work for the class, they had us do a class about where we find ourselves now on our journey and where we find ourselves with the depth work that we're doing and how we're serving clients and what our journey looks like, not just in a flat kind of egoistic way, but in the multifaceted way. What are the feathers that are on our journey? And one of the books that we got to read was about the meaning of work. And I'm not going to remember the author now. It might have been Hillman or Hollis, who were both depth psychologists. But in the book, and the other piece of this is I was decided because I was bored and I had these beads and we were moving and nothing was unpacked, and you know how it is when you move, to design a bracelet based on this beautiful picture of this peacock. So I was already working with these beads and these colors, and it was really, really magical, and designing something beautiful. And as I was doing that, I was able to reflect on the different stages of my journey. And I had, at that point in my life, I was doing a lot of intuitive tarot reading and seeing clients for that. I was starting to develop a practice to see clients for ongoing, what I now call intuitive counseling, but ongoing depth psychology-related counseling, and also working on building my business Sacred Bracelets, which is about intuitive jewelry design. So I was doing a lot of different kinds of things, but they all centered around this image of this peacock. And then lo and behold, wouldn't you know, the book that we're reading about the meaning of work and our calling in this has this whole description of this peacock and how in the Middle Ages they looked at each feather as a different part of someone's journey or a different facet of the center of someone's life, and the idea of the eye of the peacock as being the center of the journey. So I'm sitting here, I'm making this bracelet, I'm working with this peacock, this image of this peacock, which is kind of keeping me sane as we're unpacking and things, and then I'm reading about how multifaceted the journey is. And when we live in this culture, we know that there's this encouragement to focus all of our work and all of our energy in one direction, and sometimes at the expense of our soul. Sometimes at the expense of our calling, sometimes at the expense of our joy and our passion. And so it was just so amazing to be working with this image of this peacock in three different ways. And that's when I decided to use that image of the peacock as my desktop picture as I built my business and as I made my files for my businesses and started to blend them together. And I chose the picture of an albino peacock because a friend happened to send me that picture. And that picture was all about the purity of the peacock, or the beginning place of the peacock, because it was white and pure and not written on, not colored, so to speak. So I put that peacock there. And then as my business grew and as I reached different milestones in my business, I changed the picture of the peacock. And ironically, just a few days ago, a very dear friend of mine sent me a picture of a peacock and put it on my Facebook page. And the picture was of a peacock, an albino peacock in flight, with a colored peacock looking at it. So if any of you know anything about mirroring or images mirroring each other, one was the beginning of the journey, and the other one was the journey all colored, and they were looking at each other, which was a very, very powerful image, because some of the work that I did at this workshop this weekend was all about stripping back and beginning to do some of the work for me, not so much for clients, but to get back in touch with my own intuition and my own imagination, just for myself, just to enrich my life so that I'm more centered in the work that I'm doing. So it's a very, very, very powerful, powerful image. So I'm not sure yet if the second chakra is the peacock or if that is some other totem animal that's just for my business. But I'm playing with it, and I'm sure I will know soon. The third chakra, which is right above your belly button, and it is the color that goes with it. Oh, and I forgot to mention these colors. The color of the first chakra is red, the color of the second chakra is orange, and the color of the third chakra is bright yellow. So the third chakra is all about our authentic self. It's how to share our authentic self in the world. It's about what Jung calls the individuation process. So when we're able to figure out who we are for ourselves and not really change that based on who's around, but to have a deep sense of what we're meant to do and what we're meant to share, and then to be able to share that with the world and to give back that gift to other people through our service. So that really is that central chakra, that third chakra. And for me, that third chakra is all about tiger. In the first part of my journey, because of my family of origin and because of struggles and archetypal energies that I faced, I really had a hard way to go. And also probably because I didn't realize that my journey was as an entrepreneur and my journey was about building these businesses. It wasn't about having a 9-to-5, and I just never fit very well in a 9-to-5. And so tiger showed up, and tiger is a predator. But when I think about tiger, I think about the energy of something that's stalking what it wants, that knows exactly what it wants, and it knows how to move lively through the jungle and not make any noises, and how to have very, very clear focus. And so tiger showed up in several ways. First, tiger showed up in a dream way before I knew that tiger was my totem. And for you guys who are working on figuring out what your totem animals are, if your animal shows up in a dream and seems to have a message or guide you to a larger purpose or have an obstacle for you to face, and that holds, that sticks with you, it's very likely that your animal totem has shown up in that context in your dream time. So I had a dream that I was going through, I was at the very, very tip top of this this Japanese house that was all built out of bamboo, way, way, way high in the air, and it was beautiful, and it was nighttime, and I came down, walking down many, many, many sets of stairs, and I walked out to the encampment that was around that house, and there was this this wide, wide concrete bridge, and it was full of water, and there was a huge, large tiger there, and it jumped in the water, and it swam across this great, great waterway and jumped over to the other side, and it was so regal and so clear in its direction and so powerful that I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And I found out since that although some cats do swim, tiger is the only one that really likes to swim. So I started working with this animal in a larger context to really go into the space of the animal and to figure out what it felt like to embody that kind of energy, because I had struggled with a lot of energies that were difficult or that were adversarial, and I would kind of back down or get weak or you know, equivocate what my position was on things. And tiger doesn't allow for that. Tiger just goes after what it wants, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. So I kind of took on this new energy in many, many ways. And I worked with it in the pool first because tigers swim. And in working with animal totems and in shamanic work, many times if you dance your animal or act out the energy of your animal, it helps you to understand the energy that the animal has and kind of use that energy in a way that shifts your own energy in your body. So I would get in the pool and I would work with tiger and I would just imagine my eye at the very, very top of the water there, and I would skim the top of the water as I would imagine my huge paws moving through the water, and I would just, with that very, very clear focus, I would walk across. I would kind of, you know, just move in through the depths of the water. And that made me feel different, made me feel more solid when I would encounter people who were trying to throw me off my game. So Tiger spoke to me in that fashion. And then also I did a traditional totem work, shamanic journey with someone when I was working at the Reiki Center a while ago. And I came up with a very, very clear totem to work with. But I went into the bathroom, and I usually would use the women's room, but the women's room was shut down for some reason, so I used the men's room. And that tiger was there, and it was a baby tiger with a mother. There was a picture of it on the wall with a mother looking over it very, very lovingly. And to me, that represented this caretaking ability of being able to help this new fledgling energy to grow and become strong and empowered. And I knew that it was kind of a secondary totem. So you see, as I'm talking about these things, I'm talking about inviting and playing with the energy and seeing what these things could mean. How is a baby tiger different than a mother tiger, different than a male tiger who's like the only tiger in the jungle? So if you can just check in with these archetypes and check in for yourself, you'll have more of an understanding of what your totem animal is telling you. And I have to say, since working with tiger, and I still put tiger on my desktop sometimes, I feel much stronger and much more rooted and much more powerful and much less easily let off my game by people who would like to, or, you know, energies who are more ego-based. But for me, tiger is about authentic power. It isn't about ego. It's about authentic power, and it's about being clear about what you want and not losing your focus. So my fourth chakra, I don't know what that is yet. I have several animals that I think that it could be, but I don't want to come from a thinking place with this process. I think with any depth work, any shamanic work, any psycho-spiritual work, any work that activates your psychology, i.e. the stories you tell and your spirituality, you really want to feel like you're inviting the process in to connect with you instead of that you're picking the thing that sounds right or is right from a more cognitive space. Because our cognitions, our mind likes to hold on to things, and our imagination allows things to shift and be fluid in our environment. So I'm not going to say what my fourth chakra is because I just really don't know. My fifth chakra is parrot, and I got to do a wonderful shamanic journeying experience with the amazing Cristalla Nin, who took us on an amazing journey. And one of the things that they talk about when an animal chooses you is that it might not be one that you would choose for yourself, but as you start to notice the energies of the animal, notice what's said about the animal in like one of these wonderful Ted Andrews books, which he really was connected to spirit when he did this work, or through the felt sense, through a deeper sense that this is right, the animal kind of chooses you. So it's a relationship that you have together. And so parrot chose me, and when parrot chose me, fifth chakra, by the way, is your throat chakra. It has to do with sharing your inner voice, sharing your ability to communicate, sharing your creative energies with the world. And so when parrot chose me, it was kind of funny. Parrot was very, very clear that its name was Molly. And, you know, you think about Polly, want a cracker, you know, you think about the traditional parrot that parrots whatever anybody else says. And a big part of my process was learning to be able to hold to my own truth and say what was true for me and still to be able to interface and share other people's ideas with them. Sometimes when you grow up in a family where it's like so all or nothing, you don't really know how you sound. And so I think in the past I've struggled with sounding like I'm pretty full of myself, and then and only out of a place of needing to take up that much space because I hadn't grown into who I really was, or sometimes equivocating and backing down. So for me, and this has been a theme in my life, as you can probably tell from my other stories, so for me, this parrot was all about being able to blend in and then being able to separate. So my parrot said to me very clearly in the shamanic journey that her name was Molly. So it rhymes with Polly, so it's kind of similar to this parrot that blends in and says whatever anybody else says. But it clearly is not that as well. It clearly can hold its own, has its own sounds and its own way of coming across. And parrot, I didn't know this at the time. I started doing this radio show 3 years ago for a wonderful man named Iggy Garcia, who does a wonderful radio program on the same channel with Insights Radio. And I just happened to be a guest on his show, and he called me after and asked me if I'd like to do my own show. And I was just all over it. I just was like, oh, that would be such a wonderful experience. And so I didn't know at the time that I would be doing this radio show. And when you do a radio show, you know, you get to share your stories. But when you don't have, your own stories to share and the hour isn't you, a lot of what you're doing is sharing other people's stories, listening to their stories, figuring out who's going to be a good fit for the show, and really, really giving them the stage and the space to talk about what's true for them and what's powerful for them to help your guests. So in many ways, I was listening as much as I was sharing. So in that way, the peacock or the parrot made so much sense. At the same time, when I started the show, I had a lot of callers call in from California, and I had happened to watch that movie, Wild Parrots of Telegraph Hill, which if you haven't watched it, it's a wonderful, wonderful story. Make sure to listen. Make sure to watch all the extras in the film as well, because they really get into the relationships that he had with the distinct individual parrots. But in those secondary stories, those secondary pieces in the movie, for folks who don't know, the movie is about these parrots that are wild. They weren't wild, they were domestic, which that fits into the whole Polly Molly thing too. And because their owners didn't want them or something like that, or they got out, they all ended up in a flock in the San Francisco Bay Area. And this gentleman who was homeless at the time took care of them and helped them until they could be, and then went and was the steward and advocate for them so that they could be kept by the city and protected. And so the movie is about his relationship with these different parrots and how different they all are and how unique they all are. And he thinks that he's just got a relationship with these parrots, but these parrots are going all the way up and down the coast and have other people that they visit. And so when I started doing Inner Voice Intuitive Hour and realizing the reach that I potentially had, I really felt like this parrot that was flying from one place to another and really affecting my community by moving and by flying, by sharing my words and ideas and sharing other practitioners with people. And so the symbol of this flying, colorful bird made so much sense. Also, parrot has a lot to do with the chakras and working with color magic, and that is another piece that is really, really central to my way of working with intuition and with these tools. The next chakra is the sixth chakra, and that is your third eye chakra. And that chakra resonates with the colors purple or lavender or violet. And that chakra is all about trusting your intuition, all about trusting your inner truth, all about opening up your unique vision in the world. And it's kind of funny because when I was doing this amazing sacred breath work, owl was there in every single vision that I had. There was this tiny, sweet little owl with a moon over him. And owl was probably the first totem to ever come to me, but I don't think I realized it because I, you know, sometimes we struggle with compartmentalizing things and thinking if something doesn't come in a certain way, it isn't legitimate. This is certainly something that I've struggled with in the past. And so when I was undergraduate in college, I was lucky enough to hear a wonderful poet, Brenda Hillman, and she had written a poem about all of these animals, and one of them was the owl. And she talked about the who of the owl and who are you and this idea. And I went and I wrote about some things that were going on in my life, and I used the owl as one of the main themes in the poem. And at that point in my life, like I said, I struggled with 9-to-5s that really weren't a good fit, with bosses that really were not particularly, that some very toxic work environments that I think I fell into because my family of origin was not a family where I had a good model for knowing what one should expect from a work environment. So I had some very kind of dark experiences with that. And so, and a lot of the dark experiences that I had was because I just intuitively knew way more about people than they wanted me to know. And I've always been very, very empathic that way. And, you know, kind of a psychopomp. And that's never been a very positive thing for me until I was able to figure out how to, you know, how to use it to help people. Because a lot of people in a work environment don't want you to know all sorts of things about them. A lot of people want to be able to keep a poker face, and I didn't know that because I was just new and fresh, and so I would just like share everything that I knew, and people were afraid, or they were uncomfortable, or they felt like they couldn't hide. And so the owl, the energy of the owl, is all about this idea of being able to pinpoint and zero in on what's going on. Owls can see movement from very, very far, a very far distance away. And so owl is about knowing the secrets and being able to know the secrets that people don't share. Ironically, when I was doing this wonderful work up at the Crow's Nest, I was lucky enough to, when I came out of it, we all had to do this mandala work, and we had to create a mandala that we were supposed to share all of the stuff that happened in our vision. So we would, you know, use paints and that sort of thing. And I definitely went to drawing this owl, and I didn't end up doing a mandala. I had intended to, but it ended up just being this huge owl in the middle of this circle. And owl is really, I have this dream of having owl show up in a very, very tangible, actual way, and either finding a feather or hearing one in captivity, not in captivity, in the wild, you know, hoot and this sort of thing. And I really feel like I'll really be working with that totem much more directly when I had that experience. And the gentleman who was my ally, who was watching me to make sure that I was okay during this breath work, said that he had heard an owl in the forest where we were camping. And that was amazing to me because it just feels like we were dreaming this energy together, and like owl is that much closer. So that was very, very powerful. But the reason that I didn't value the owl when it came around, I mean, the poem was a blast to write, and it was very, very healing, but I didn't think it was an animal totem for me, was because it didn't come in the traditional fashion. You know, I didn't go through a vision, a shamanic experience to meet my owl. So I encourage you, wherever you are, as you're working on this, figuring out what your totems look like and how to work with them energetically, how to call them into your space, that they can come in many, many different ways. You don't have to do a traditional shamanic journey to make a connection with your animal totem. You just have to have a special relationship and awareness that it has something to teach you or share with you or show you. And you can bring these totems into your world. So if you're struggling with something in your life, you can call on your parrot. If you're struggling with something around communication with someone, or you're struggling with something with sharing something, you can call this totem into your life. You can call these different totems, these different helpers and guides into your life and meditate with them to help them and to get help from them and to energize the situation and to move through it and shift it. Another thing that I like to do sometimes is if I'm really stuck on something and I'm trying to use my ego to solve it, which usually never works, I like to choose a stone that represents the energy of me and then choose a stone or crystal that represents the energy of the animal, the totem, and maybe a third party, if there's a third party or situation, and put those energies in a little container. You know, I have a little crystal bowl that I put them in. And so instead of going forward and trying to use my ego to fix something or to say something or to rush in, I will just allow those energies to be intermingled, and I will ask the universe to sort it out for me. And it's a way where I don't have to use my ego at all. And normally in 4 or 5 days, the situation has shifted. Normally this has to do with just having more patience in the situation. But I encourage you to try it. I encourage you to try it on your own. It's a great, great thing to do. And it takes the onus off of you to solve things. And so that's a great way to use these totem energies. The seventh totem, the seventh chakra, is your crown chakra. And it's right where your fontanelle was when you were a baby. So if you just find you at the top of your head there and imagine that space right there, that's it. It's the crown of your head. And that space is about expressing your divinity and noticing that everything comes from a place of the divine, and that we don't have to go into a place of the ego. We don't have to collapse into a place of fear. That we always have the potential to connect with the divinity in ourselves and to connect with the energy of the divine, and to speak to the divine and to ask for and be guided by angelic solutions. So for me, this energy is seal, and seal has followed me pretty much throughout my life from the time that I was very young. Well, not very young, but junior high for sure. I used to have dreams about being a baby seal. And when you think about seal, you think, you know, I mean, I know that the predator for a seal is a polar bear, but it's also a man, right? Because they come and they bop them over the head for their coats because they're beautiful and they're sweet and they're innocent, and so they're easy to hurt. And so for me, I would have dreams about this, and they weren't fun dreams. They were rather nightmarish in quality. And then I would have dreams that these baby seals were peeing, not me, but these seals were peeing, which represented the fact that they didn't have much control over their body. So it's a very baby-like, infantile way of seeing this energy show up. And then I had dreams later on that I picked up the baby seal and it had teeth that it bared at me. So this represents being able to take care of yourself, right? Being able to know that something might come after you and hurt you. So you can see how with this totem, it grows and it changes and it morphs, and how it's there and it's present throughout different stages in my life. And that's how I know that this is a very, very primary or big animal totem for me. The next time this animal totem showed up, I was doing a traditional shamanic journey with the drumbeat on a tape with a friend. And I had these dreams, but I didn't know that this was an animal totem yet. I just knew that I had a connection with the seal. And as I said, some of these awarenesses about how totems work and how to work with them grew over time. But I had a shamanic journey that I was on this beach, and there were these seals, but they were up in the air like kites, and I had string attached to them. I've actually had this dream. Wow, I just realized this now. I had this dream about a bat, too, which is funny because I've never really dreamt about bats. Now to find out that that's my first chakra totem, I'm going to have to meditate on that a bit. And I pulled them down to earth, like they were like balloons, like they were buoyed, and I pulled them down to earth. And I automatically felt like, oh, this totem is so powerful, it's so wonderful, it's so sweet, I feel so connected to it. But I went to Ted Andrews' book, and Ted Andrews' book talks about the seal, which is a pinniped, and there are true seals, and there are sea lions, and sea lions have regular external ears, but seals have only internal ears. Irving Yalom, who was the inventor of group therapy, as it were, talks about the idea of the third ear or the intuitive ear, and seals are all about, in Ted Andrews' book, he talks about them being about the dream time, being about lucid dreaming, being about a deep connection with the intuition and the unconscious, being that they live in the water, and yet they have to come back out to land to breed and to give they give live birth on land. And so that gave me the opportunity to meditate about land and grounding and the seal. So anyway, if you know me, there's nothing that could be more like me than lucid dreaming, connecting with the intuition, trusting the imaginal process. And another piece of the seal energy is about knowing that amazing, amazing things can come through the imagination that may not seem plausible in the rational world. And that is pretty much the story of my life. So seal came in that context. And then later, seal came again, and I had a dream. I was about 20 feet up on this pile of pillows, and I had to sit very still to stay up there, and I decided that the price of staying still was that I couldn't interact or move my body, and I was too stiff and too high up, and so I just moved around, and I fell, but I was worried that when I fell, I would hurt myself. And if you know if you're familiar with the tarot, this represents the tower and the energy of the tower, and how when you fall willingly and let go, it doesn't hurt as much as when you hold yourself stiff. Well, when I fell into this sea of seals, into this seal rookery, and there were all these seals around, and there were all of these wonderful pillows that buoyed my fall. And so to me, this represented being in a space with many like people, like energies that were connected with the intuition and connected with the imagination and connected with the energy of the unconscious and with dreaming and the dream time and valued the dream time. Little did I know that I would end up going to Pacifico to get my master's, which is a program in depth psychology, and I would be surrounded by a sea of others who were involved in getting connected with the unconscious and the dream time and valuing the intuition as a way of knowing. And I did walk down the beach when I lived in Carpinteria there, and there was a seal rookery that was very similar to the one in my dream. So you see how this symbol plays out and is a backbone of my story and connects me with the energy of the divine. So I encourage you on your own journey to think about these things, to notice the chakra points. And if you'd like to go and get the ebook, all you have to do is sign up for that email list, and I'll be sending that out. I'll actually be sending that out in a couple weeks, and you can receive the chakra balancing ebook So you can start to do this work on your own. And if you're not drawn to do the chakra work, just start thinking about or feeling or noticing the totem animals and experiences that are around you, because they will enrich your life. Working with animals and guides and signs and synchronicities, what Jung calls synchronicities, magical happenings in the world, will enrich your life, and it will take you out of the place of needing your ego to do so much for you in your world. When we use our egos so exhaustively, we become exhausted, because the ego is a show and it has to fight. It has to fight and it has to compare itself to others to feel powerful and to feel strong. And while that's necessary at one part on our journey and necessary at certain stages and in certain situations, we really want to grow into a place of serenity and peace and love and connection with each other. And animal totems and working with angels and working with stones and working with our intuition and noticing synchronicities, all of these things are wonderful tools in order to get there and in order to have wonderful, magical stories to tell that take us off course from the rational, which our world is so loaded with. So I do want to share very briefly also, and this concludes the end of what I have to share in terms of tonight's topic. But I do want to share that I do have a sponsor for the show now, and that is John Addison, who does a wonderful series called The Holistic Highways to Wisdom. You can find it on Amazon, and you can get it directly from John Addison's website, Holistic Highways to Wisdom. And it's a wonderful series for people who are looking for more intuitive ways, metaphysical ways of connecting with different energies. It has amazing practitioners. And if you are a practitioner yourself, John Addison offers a great way for you to get out there. You can work with him and make some videos, and he will give you several of them and then sell them to you for $10 with an agreement that you can sell them to other people for $20. So when I started getting out there, finished my master's, I did three wonderful tapes with John Addison. I did one on working with the four sacred elements, and then I did another one on tarot and another one on dreams. And it's a great way to get your stuff out there into the libraries and to get your message out there. And for people who are practitioners and who want to get their message out there, it's wonderful. And for people who want to know more about these topics, it's just an amazing series. So in upcoming shows, I'll have cool commercial that I put on. But for today, I just wanted to share just the joy and the really great potential of what John is sharing out in the world. So it's John Addison, Addison, and he's open to working with many different kinds of practitioners. And he does this from a very heart-centered place, because he just wants the message to get out there. So I encourage you to connect with your animal totems, connect with your guides, notice the magic in your universe, and if you're in the Tibet area, I encourage you to check out the Universal Life Expo at the Veterans Memorial this weekend. There will be all sorts of readers, wonderful workshops to go to, and more on how to connect with the soul self and how to connect and trust your intuition. It's a two-day event. It's all day Saturday and all day Sunday. I will be speaking on Sunday at 3 o'clock on working with the four sacred elements. So if that interests you, I encourage you to check out the Universal Life Expo. Have a great evening. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, create magic, connect with magic, share magic. That's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everyone. Bye now.